do Daryl's first.
Tech Webcast is sponsored by Ventuative Web Development and Promotion, passionately helping small business succeed online. Is your website in need of an upgrade? Do you need help with social media and the promotion of your business? Ventuative can help develop and implement a strategy that is best suited to your business. Promotional packages are also available. So contact Ventuative today for your free quote. And we thank Ventuative for supporting Tech Webcast. Final is back, baby. And if you don't want to miss the boat on all things vinyl, then you should jump right over to Still Spinning. That's S-T-I-L-L, Still Spinning on YouTube. It's Kevin Carpenter's wonderful channel where he has video after video on all things vinyl. So, Kevin also has a Facebook page at facebook.com/stillspinning3, that's the number 3, where you can continue the conversation. So if you want that new turntable, if you're after the Beatles White Album, or you don't know what vinyl is all about, just jump over to Still Spinning on YouTube and hook up with Kevin Carpenter. And we thank Kevin and Still Spinning for supporting Tech Webcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tech Webcast. Please like us on Facebook and Twitter at Tech Webcast. Thank you.
Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast.
Minus 10.
Tech Webcast.
9.
Tech Webcast.
7.
Liftoff. Climbing nicely, precisely. Roll program initiated.
Welcome to the Tech Webcast Podcast, episode 450, recorded on the 5th of November, 2017. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at 12 p.m. Melbourne time. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/TechWebcast. Follow us on Twitter at TechWebcast and download the TechWebcast iPhone and Android app. And support us on Patreon at TechWebcast. And these shows have been brought to you by Sabor TV and Cheaper Tech. And hello there, Brad.
Hello, Jake. And the guest is?
Got Mike, sorry if I slaw your last name. Guri?
Is it Mike?
Guri-eri.
Guri-eri.
Okay, sorry about that.
And
that's okay.
Welcome. And he's from Mystic Brew.
That's it, mate. And good to have you on the podcast, Mike.
No, thanks for having me.
No problem, mate. We also have Audwin on. Welcome back to the podcast, Audwin.
Thank you very much. It's great to be on, coming to you from Waikiki today. And it is a beautiful day, another glorious day here in paradise in Hawaii.
Yes, indeed it is. And today is the episode 450, Jacob. Is that a big deal or not?
Yeah, it's a big deal. 50 more episodes and then we got the big 500.
We do indeed. Audwin, what do you think?
Oh, I'm very impressed. You know, there's not many podcasts I say that would have gone for 7 years. So you've really overcome the 7 year itch now, coming on to eighth. When is the eighth year coming up, Brad?
I think it's next year.
What? What month?
I'm not sure.
Okay, well, 8 year. Once you get past that 7 year itch, which you've pretty much you're there because you're almost at 8. So, you know, you've lasted a lot longer than probably 60% of relationships, and and you've shown some staying power and resilience there, Brad, by keeping this going. So congratulations, and it's been awesome to be part of it for the last 6 months or so that I've been involved.
Thanks, Auden, and I appreciate your dedication each week, and you're always on the podcast. I don't think you missed – I think you may have missed one episode, I think, maybe two, I'm not sure.
Yeah, not many in between all my travels. So
yeah, exactly.
It is awesome. We've had some brilliant guests on, and I'm really looking forward to hearing about Mike today. Welcome, yes. Mike.
Welcome, Mike. Good and to have you on the
thank
podcast.
You. The beauty of these podcasts, bringing people together from all over the world. It's
exactly.
Fantastic.
Exactly. And Jake, what about you? You haven't missed any episodes, have you?
No, unless I'm really sick.
No, exactly. Exactly. All right. Good to have you on the podcast, Jake. Good to be on. You've been on this podcast for a long time, mate.
Darn tootin'.
Yep, okay, I'm not sure what that means, but anyway.
It's instead of cussing.
Oh, okay. We got Mike on. Welcome to the podcast, Mike.
Yeah, thanks again.
Good to have you on, man. And you do
good
a
to be here.
Yep, good to have you on. You do a radio show called Mystic Brew on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. on PBS FM.
That's right, yeah. It's been going for just under 3 years now. In a couple of weeks, I'm doing my 150th episode, so I think
awesome.
That's something to shout about.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good job, mate.
Awesome.
Yeah, awesome. So a question about your show. How do you prepare for your show? Do you prepare a couple of days before or?
Well, I generally take it's kind of interesting because, like, maybe I physically sit down and prepare the music maybe on the Monday.
Okay.
But I guess during the week, I'm always hearing lots of music in kind of my DJ gigs and working in the record shop and listening to other people's radio shows and stuff. So I'm always listening and taking music in. And I guess I sit down on the Monday and try and put all that into practice and put together a show to broadcast on Tuesdays.
Awesome, mate. So is it all vinyl you play? Is it vinyl or CDs you play or MP3s?
It's a bit of a mixture, really. It's kind of whatever I can get my hands on, to be honest. Like, a lot of the music I play is either about to come out or just come out. So often I don't have the vinyl for that. So I'm happy to sort of play it off however I can receive it, whether it's a digital file or CD or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So before you're doing Mystic Brew, were you doing any other radio shows before that one?
I was broadcasting on Kiss FM, which is a local dance music station here in Melbourne. They've been going for quite a long time as well. I had a show called Funny Side Up on Kiss FM. That ran for probably a couple of years, I'd say, probably 2.5 years. Yeah.
Good stuff, mate, good stuff. Jacob, any questions for Mike?
For your show, what type of music do you use? For the people that might not know.
Yeah, right. Well, I get 2 hours to play every week, and in that I try and fit in as much music as I can. Like, the only real kind of rule that I have is that it's music that I like. So it's everything from old and new music, and as far as maybe genres are concerned, the stuff that I'm interested in is generally groove-based music, so that encapsulates everything from jazz, soul, hip-hop, electronica, and stuff from all over the world, like Latin music, African music, Brazilian music, reggae, all sorts of stuff. So there's a lot of good music out there, so I try and put as much of it as I can into the 2 hours.
Okay, and here's a biggie. How did you come up with your show name, Mystic Brew?
Mystic Brew is a name of a jazz funk record by a organ player whose name is Ronnie Foster. It came out on Blue Note Records sometime in the early 70s, I think 1972. And it was famously sampled by a hip-hop group in the early 90s, A Tribe Called Quest. And so it was a good kind of melting point of stuff that I do. So that's where the name came from.
Awesome.
And one more. How is it to be in the office of where you do all the setup and stuff in PBS FM?
Yeah, it's great. They have, you know, really good facilities down there. I kind of approach it like I would like a DJ gig in a club. I kind of use the more DJ focused equipment, like the CDJs and the turntables and the DJ mixer, and kind of incorporate that into what I do, rather than just using the paneling, a more traditional radio hosting style. Kind of gives me a little bit of an edge in the way I can put the music together and the transitions and stuff like that. So I think people kind of enjoy that when they listen to me on the radio. I like to think they do anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. It's a great show. I don't miss the show, Michael. I listen to it every week, mate, and it's great music.
Yeah. For sure.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I take it you're into vinyl. You're a big collector of vinyl records?
Yeah, sure. Definitely.
Where all
my money goes.
How many do you have in your collection so far?
I don't actually know, but if I had to sort of look at it and take a guess, I'd say maybe kind of 5,000 or 6,000 records.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot. That is a lot. Alduin, any questions for Mike?
Yes. Do you do many interviews on your show?
Usually every other week I normally have an interview, but like it just depends what's going on and who's in town and who I can talk into coming on and having a chat with, definitely.
Okay, and what sort of people do you look for to interview, and how long do the interviews go for normally?
It depends, because if it's an over-the-phone interview, generally mm-hmm. a lot of these kind of touring artists that are coming to Australia, they'll be on a run of interviews. So, like, they'll be literally sitting by the phone, like I am now with you guys, and they'll have, you know, five people on the line, and usually you get kind of 10 to 15 minutes with them, and that's kind of your time limit. So if it's one of those, then it can be, yeah, generally I get 15 minutes to talk with them. But if it's an artist who's already in the country and they come into the studio live, or it's just a local artist that's come in, generally I can kind of get anywhere from half an hour up to an hour with them.
Okay.
Interesting. So, Mike, you work down at Northside Records in Fitzroy. How long have you been working there for? If you don't mind me asking,
I think I've been there for like a couple of years now. It seems like about a couple of years now anyway.
Okay. It's an awesome shop, by the way. I've been there so many times, mate. I've met you there a few times. I'm not sure if you remember me or not, but bought records off there, and Chris has been on this podcast, so
I have something to add to that.
Yeah, hang on for a second, Jacob. What's it like to work with Chris Gill, Mike?
Well, he's a funny man, Chris Gill. He's the best boss that anyone probably hoped for, wouldn't he? But
definitely.
You know, he's a funny laid back character, and it's always a good time working down there. It's not like it's ever a chore having to be there, so it's always a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Jake, what did you want to ask Mike?
You actually asked it for me.
Oh, okay. What else did you want to ask, Jake?
And I said something in the chat.
What is it? Say it.
No, I said he looks like a guy from the 80s.
I reckon more from the 70s, but sure. Okay.
So, Aldo, any other questions for Mike?
Yeah, do you have any background in the media before you did this radio show, or what inspired you to do it?
Well, I guess I come from it more from the club DJ perspective. I've been, you know, DJing at in clubs and parties and stuff like that since I was like quite young. I really started when I was about 16. So I've been doing that for quite some time, and so I guess I built an interest in radio just from, because I discover a lot of music via radio from you know, radio shows in Australia and around the world once the internet kind of came in. And yeah, I guess that sort of harbored my interest in it and wanting to, just another avenue for me to share music, which is something I'm interested in. You know, I do that with my DJing, the radio, and working in the record shop as well.
Okay, brilliant. And do you do many giveaways or any giveaways of CDs?
Yeah,
or?
when they give me something to give away, sure. It does happen.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So your real point of difference, so compared to, say, other shows out there, what would you say your real point of difference is? Why should people listen to your show?
I guess you just get maybe a wider scope of music than you would on most shows. Like, you know, as far as PBS is concerned, you know, the people who present shows on there generally have a quite specific taste in music and what they present on the show. I guess the only point of difference in my show would be that maybe I have a bit of a wider kind of range of music that I present. You know, I think, you know, you can hear anything from, you know, a John Coltrane record from 1958, and then I'll play that next to a, you know, brand new dance music release and try and make them make sense together. And that's kind of what I'm trying to achieve out there, is just to sort of show people that, you know, there's all this music out there, and, you know, don't just put all your eggs in one basket.
Mm. And what do you think of the changing face of the music industry? Like, you know, how music was, say, 20, 30, 40 years ago compared to what sort of music we're putting out now?
Well, you know, it's all, you know, the music industry is an ever-changing process, and, you know, people always kind of want to talk about this, especially in terms of technology affecting the music, and that's been happening since forever, really. You know, stuff that the equipment that we use to make music is very different now. But over time, the thing that's really changed is that it's more and more accessible for everyone to be part of it and make music nowadays, which is really important, I think. So it's, you know, as a result of that, sure, you might get some bad music out there, but there's also lots of very good music out there, and people who weren't previously getting those opportunities and now getting those opportunities, which I think is a really good thing. And, you know, anyone can, with the power of social media and the internet, you can really kind of showcase your music now, which people have never been able to do without a record deal. So I think it's an exciting kind of time.
Where's your studio located? And if people aren't in that area, how can they tune in? Is there an online way they can tune in to your show?
Oh, yeah. PBS stream online from their website 24 hours a day. So you can, if you're not near a transistor radio, you can always just tune in online. The website is pbsfm.org.au.
Okay. And where's your studio based?
My studio, the PBS studio, the studio is located in Collingwood in Melbourne. I have all my setup at home with all my records and my stuff, but I have a pretty simple kind of setup. I wouldn't say I have a studio as such.
Oh, okay. So Collingwood in Melbourne, but you actually, obviously, you know, go into PBS to do the show. You don't do it remotely, do you, from
home? No, I go into the studio and do it at the radio station, yeah.
Yeah. That would be next level, to be able to do a radio show from home and stream it through the station. I'm sure there's a way that
can happen. I'm sure there's ways to do it. Yeah, there is ways to do it. You can do it. That can be done.
Yeah, I don't think they'd be that into it.
No, I agree.
Exactly. Yeah, right. And as far as like mixing the music with using the radio mixing desk, how do you find that compared to your DJ setup?
It's a little different, but, you know, obviously I talk on the radio, whereas I don't really talk when I'm performing out in clubs and stuff like that. So that's a little bit different. I enjoy it. I enjoy the point of difference that radio presents, and yeah, it's always a good challenge.
Yeah, awesome. And do you know how many people actually tune in to your show, or how many listeners they've got across the network?
Yeah, I'm sure they do have kind of statistics and all that sort of stuff. I'm not really up with it, to be perfectly honest.
Okay.
Yeah, I just kind of I've kind of just go in and do it. Hopefully people are listening. Yeah, got it. I get a lot of good.
Yeah, got it. That's good. Got it. And do you have another day job as well as this, or is this your main thing?
Working at the record. I work at the record store, and my DJing, that's pretty much what I do.
Okay, got it. And is there anything you particularly absolutely love right now? Any music that you're just playing all the time and you just can't get enough of?
Well, there's a group out of Melbourne called 3070. They just put their new album out. It's their second album. Probably the biggest seller at Northside Records at the moment. And they're a really great young group of people who are making interesting music and making some big waves overseas now as well. So that's good to see. And yeah, that's getting a lot of high rotation at the moment.
Awesome. Well, Melbourne is the centre of the arts, they say, and there's always fantastic music coming out of Melbourne. Cat Empire was a Melbourne band, and they're absolutely amazing band. And so many others. Yeah. Spiderbait, I think, was Melbourne. There's a lot of really good Melbourne bands that have come out, and really eclectic, really different kind of music, isn't it? So a lot of, yeah, you know, culturally influenced music, I think, as well, has come out of Melbourne. So, yeah, it's a pretty exciting place, I must say. When I'm not on the Gold Coast, I do enjoy going to Melbourne. And I'll have to come check out the PBS studio sometime. Come and check it out.
Yeah, you should. You should, you should check it out. It's a great station. I'm going there. I'm actually going there on Wednesday, actually, to get a couple of things for some people. And, okay. Yeah, it's a great station, Auden. Yeah, you should check it out.
Awesome. And it is community radio, right, for those that don't know?
That's right. Yeah. It's completely funded by membership. And, yeah, so it's a good vibe.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I love community radio. I've actually hosted quite a few community radio shows myself over time with different community radio stations, with 2CHY in Coffs Harbour, 4CRM in Mackay, Radio Manly Warringah in Sydney. There's quite a few. Life FM, which is now 107.3 Juice FM on the Gold Coast. So I've done shows with all those stations, and I love it. I must say I absolutely love radio. And it's interesting now with podcasting. You know, so many people are now doing podcasts, which is fantastic too, making radio or, you know, this format really accessible, even though we're not playing music on this. But, you know, podcasting is huge now. So, you know, how do you find this kind of explosion of podcasts that are happening at the moment, Mike? Have you got any thoughts about that?
I listen to podcasts quite often. I've got my own little sort of favourites that I kind of go back to. And, you know, I generally listen to music podcasts because that's where my kind of research time goes into. So I'm always looking for new music, and, you know, I can find all my favourite kind of DJs and tastemakers around the world and find out what they're doing. And, you know, it's great. It's the tip of my fingers. I can just find out and click on what they're playing, and yeah, it's great.
Yeah, brilliant. It is really cool. And, you know, I love podcasting in that you don't have to be in a physical studio. You can just be anywhere in the world and have multiple people on it and be able to chat away. And we've got a lovely intro and outro that we have on this show, which is nice. But, you know, it might be nice maybe occasionally to play a song here and there on the podcast. Brad, what do you think of that?
Playing music on this podcast?
Some music.
Yeah. Not sure. But Mike, I have to say that 3070 album that you recommend, that you just mentioned just before, it's a great. I actually got that last week from Northside, and it's a great album. I've been a big fan of their music, and it sounds great.
Yeah,
and what sort
absolutely.
Of music is it? How would you describe the music?
They're kind of like a fusion of neo-soul with a kind of soul music with a hip-hop kind of sensibility about it, and lots of jazz influence as well. A lot of those kids kind of, you know, grew up going to studying jazz and then have kind of just taken it somewhere further. And, you know, you'd have to say that they're an absolute direct influence from another Melbourne group that came before them, Hiatus Coyote. I think they've held they made a big change over what's going on in Melbourne's music scene the last few years. And 3070 are probably the group that you look at as the next kind of wave of that kind of sound coming through. And it's interesting because people have never really associated a sound to come out of Melbourne, a certain sound. But it seems that now that post Hiatus Coyote, that there is a movement of sort of futuristic jazzy soul music coming out of Melbourne, and 3070 are another one of those groups kind of leading the charge of that music now.
Interesting.
So, well, that's so very Alden, if you had your turntable right now, I could have sent you a copy of their new album, but you don't have one.
Okay, so they've actually put out vinyl, yes, this band, which is really cool. That's interesting. I wonder how many new acts are now putting out vinyl, as well as, you know, going on iTunes.
Yeah, lots of acts are doing it now as well. So, yeah, it's a big thing now, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow, that's so cool.
That's so cool.
It's one area of technology that's kind of making a resurgence, isn't it, vinyl? It's great.
Yes. So, Mike, where do you get your vinyl from? Do you go to many record shops around Melbourne, or do you buy them online? And what's your view on the record stores in Melbourne? What do you think of them?
Well, you know, I was just over in Europe in June and July, and I went to Paris, London, Amsterdam, Berlin.
You know,
people that talk about big hotspots for records, but coming back, I have to say that I think we have a really healthy record store scene in Melbourne.
Yeah,
not that it wasn't good over there, but it was just like, I think it's just really good in Melbourne. We have we produce a little guide at Northside, the record store map.
Yep.
And I think there's over 60 stores, independent stores in Melbourne at the moment.
Yeah.
Which per capita is bigger than anywhere else in the world. So there's obviously a healthy scene for it down here. I guess that probably has a lot to do with, you know, Australia's quite an affluent country, and vinyl is very much something that, you know, is a people can, you know, affluent people can afford to have. So, it has a bit of a market down here. So, it's good like that. You know, you compare it to something like Japan, where I went a couple of years ago before that. It really doesn't compare with that. That is probably the mecca for vinyl in the world. Yeah, we have great stuff down here. But as far as where I collect my records, I obviously get like a nice little healthy staff discount at Northside. So
that's
I
cool.
use a fair bit of it down there. But having said that, there's music that I'm into which Northside doesn't always have. So I'll do what I can to find it wherever I can, really.
Yeah, definitely. I actually bought a record off Disc Dogs the other day, and I went and put it on for the first time. I think it was last night or the night before. And the record wasn't even packaged properly, and I took it out and it was bloody warped. Couldn't believe it.
Oh, damn.
Oh,
yeah, could not believe it. So
that's the Melbourne Sun for you.
Well, I'm not sure where I can't remember where it came from, but anyway, I'm getting a refund on it, so I can buy another copy of it somewhere in Melbourne. But I was quite annoyed about that, actually. But anyway, what can you
Well,
do?
At least you can take it back.
Well, yeah, I can keep it and probably chuck it away, but I can't really do much with a warped record.
No. Well, that's one thing about it. They need to be looked after correctly, don't they, records?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And what is the best way to store a record, actually? What do you guys say? What's the best way to store a record?
Mike, what do you think?
Oh, I generally just have them upright,
yeah,
if I can, in a plastic sleeve, away from the sun.
Yeah, probably in a cool area of the house. So definitely not in the sun, or not near a window where the sun's coming in. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Now, Jacob's got a question. How are you going there, Jacob?
Okay, that's a good one. If you weren't working as a DJ or working at PBS FM and not at the Northside Records, what would you be doing?
A great question. Something I haven't really thought about, to be perfectly honest. I don't know. I've kind of always been involved in music, like professionally, since I was really about 18 or 19. So my whole adult life I've really been involved with the music industry, so I can't really see any other thing that I'd be good at, to be honest. So I'm kind of just enjoying the fact that I can make a living off music. So, I don't really know, to be honest, to answer your question.
Okay.
Maybe I'll work in a bookstore or something.
Or maybe a performer. Do you play music other than DJ?
No, I don't play no music, instance. Actually. I've kind of sat down in the studio and made a few things with friends, but I don't really have the patience to create music. I'd rather just use my time to find good examples of people doing that themselves and share that. I think it's a better place for me to do that.
Yeah, and what sort of DJ equipment do you use? Any particular brands or, what sort of setup have you got for your DJing?
No, I just, turn up and whatever they have, I kind of make do with what they've given me. Like, I have sort of, there's generally an industry kind of standard, which is generally pretty well kept up within Melbourne, the places I play. So, yeah, I'm not so focused on that kind of stuff. Like, as long as it works, I'll use it.
Yeah. Okay, so you don't need to take your own DJ setup. You just step in and they've got it all set up for you, which is great.
Yeah, I just take my mm-hmm. music with me and then I'm ready to go.
Oh, okay, brilliant. Awesome. And what are you finding on the dance floors of Melbourne? What songs just get everyone dancing?
It depends on what kind of gig it is, really, because, I've got the luxury of, it's a real blessing that I have, but I'm in a position where people book me for all sorts of different kind of events. So I could be playing at a, gig where people are salsa dancing to Latin music from the 60s, or I could be playing underground techno in a nightclub at 3 o'clock in the morning with a bunch of, 18-year-old kids going absolutely bananas, which is fun as well, and everything mm-hmm. in between. So, today I'm going down to Section 8 in the city and I'm playing at a hip-hop block party. And I'm going to doing that for an hour, and then I head down to my usual Sunday spot at the Windsor Castle Hotel, and I'll be playing 5 hours of just beautiful jazz records, setting a bit of a mood. So it won't be much of a dance floor thing later, but awesome. I get to play all the music I like, so it's great.
Yeah, sounds fantastic. Awesome. Yeah, it sounds very awesome. Yeah. So Mike, when you're at home, when you're not doing much, do you play a lot of records at home, and what sort of setup do you have for that sort of listening to vinyl at home?
Right. I have a couple of Technics 1200 turntables and a Pioneer mixer.
Okay.
And I just have that hooked up to a home amplifier and speakers. And all my records are here, and my partner, she's got a bit of a healthy record collection as well. So it's a room full of records. We're always kind of trading one for one and listening to stuff at home. Generally, the music I listen to at home is pretty relaxed because I have enough craziness kind of going on the rest of the time. So it's nice just to wind back and listen to some relaxing music at home.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Jacob, what do you want to say?
I was going to say, you don't go any Saturday Night Fever like that dance scene.
As far as disco is concerned, I do like my disco. I kind of generally like to try and find the more kind of odd kind of ball disco stuff that maybe wasn't so popular at the time, but maybe should have been, because there's a lot of music out there and not a lot of the best stuff was always showcased. As the saying goes, what's popular isn't always good and what's good isn't always popular. So I think when it comes to disco especially, that applies.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder how much of, people like Justin Bieber and, these sort of, young sensations that come through now, I wonder how much manufacturing goes into their music. Like, you think Stock Aitken Waterman with Rick Astley and Kylie Minogue and people like that, where it was a very manufactured sound that was coming out of certain music studios or, Warner Music, Sony Music, etc. There's a lot of manufacturing in the background. So I wonder how much of that actually goes on today with the young sensations.
I'd say a lot.
Do you know much about that?
A lot goes into it. And generally, that's the music I avoid. I'm pretty good at picking up on which tracks are manufactured, as you said. I've got a pretty good penchant for finding the stuff that isn't like that. So that's kind of what I concentrate on.
Yeah, which is based on, you know, real music, not just mixing up, well, mixing up different sounds. Well, I guess that's music in its own sense, but, you know, actually using instruments where, you know, you have to actually be skilled at playing an instrument rather than just pressing buttons.
Yeah, well, there's an art to pressing buttons if they're, you know, done in an artistic kind of thoughtful way. But it's just, you know, if it's just by a big major record label looking to cash in and make some money by exploiting someone's good looks or whatever, that's not really music as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's amazing how Kylie Minogue's music just took off after she wore those hot pants in that spinning around video. Everything just went crazy, you know. It's just amazing. I don't know if people were buying a bum or they were buying the music, but it definitely went a bit crazy after that. And she, you know, she kind of modeled Madonna, and you think of people like Rihanna. Rihanna modeled Madonna as well, you know. So sex sells, basically, in popular music now. Sex sells and sexuality sells, and that's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. So
I always thought that's.
They're going to go. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, Tex Perkins is one of my favorites. Tex Perkins and Cruel Sea. And, you know, he's a, you know, we say Tex is sex. You know, he's a very kind of sexy role model. And I think of like Jim Morrison of The Doors. He was very, you know, I mean, they had a certain, you know, these kind of artists had a certain sexual appeal to them, you know, and
be careful what you say.
It's interesting.
Be careful what you say, Aldrin. You don't want to get any people saying we can't talk about this sort of topic on the podcast.
Actually, this is fine.
This is fine, is it? Okay. We've got the censorship board coming in. All right. Well, we're not actually talking about the act of sex. We're talking about sexuality and how it sells in music. If we haven't offended anyone listening to this podcast, I'm sure we will by the end of the podcast. So just hang in there.
So, Mike, where can they get hold of you if they want to ask you any more questions? Are you on Twitter and Facebook at all?
Like Facebook, Twitter, all that jazz. You can find me on there.
All right, mate. Awesome. And your show's on Tuesday from 9 to when 11, is it? 11 or 12?
Yeah, 11, yeah.
11, okay. Awesome. All right. And that's about it. Mike, any more you want to mention anything before we go? Or?
Thanks for having me today.
No problem, mate.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
All right. And make sure you all tune into Mike's show every Tuesday at 9 a.m.
And Mike, what do we look for to look for you on Facebook, Twitter? What do we search? Because your name's a bit unusual there. Can you spell that out for us?
It is. You've got to get the spelling right. So it's Mike, M-I-K-E, and my surname is spelled G-U-R-R-I-E-R-I.
So how do you say that?
Grieri.
Grieri. Grieri. Is that Italian? Yeah.
Yes, it is.
He's Italian, nice. His show link will be in the... will be in the show notes, so I'll put a link to his radio show, and then from there there should be a link to his Twitter and Facebook on the PBS page. Yep,
that's awesome. Great, Mike. We'll keep up the great work. Thanks, Mike. Like you're doing a brilliant job there.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate your time, mate. Yep, you too. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
There you go, Jacob. That was Mike. What do you think?
He rocks.
Are you going to be a DJ, Jacob, anytime soon?
I could be a small one, but I probably wouldn't put out the good music.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you never know, Jacob. You never know. You might have a hidden art form there that just might be hanging to come out of you.
But, that was a very interesting conversation with Mike from Melbourne, and does a great radio show on Tuesday from 9 a.m. and awesome music.
Sounds brilliant.
So tune in at all if you can on Tuesdays. And
yeah, well, I'll have to tune in online because I'm not in Melbourne, but it's great that it is online, so people can check that out.
All right.
Sounds really, really cool. And how did you find that, Brad? You thought it was – he's an interesting guy, isn't he? Have you chatted to him before?
Yeah, I've known him for a while. I've met him actually in person at the shop a few times, and I just asked him to come on. And he said, sure, and just have a chat about what he does and his radio show and music and that sort of stuff. Yeah, be interesting, person to chat to. Yeah, awesome person.
Yeah, he sounds like a very cruisy kind of dude. He sounds very chilled and You know, very, very calm, cool, calm and collected, I like to say. So
that's it.
It's good to see.
So, Jacob.
He's got that cool DJ thing going on.
He does indeed. So Jacob, do you have a highlight of the past 450 episodes?
Just with Peter Merritt.
Okay. Alden, what about you?
Look, every show has been unique in its own special way. I think I can't say there's one particular highlight of any show, but, you know, we've just had some brilliant people from all walks of life, some very interesting people we've interviewed on this show. And, you know, I actually don't have a favourite. I just don't. I can't think of one particular favourite one that really stands out, but all of them have been special in some way, Brad.
Yeah, so definitely. I agree.
Thanks for making it possible and for creating the space for us all.
Well, you too. You've got a lot of guests. We've had a lot of guests on from your end, and been awesome people.
Yes. Yeah, they have. We've had some really cool people. I loved, you know, Jeff Slater and Neve Cronin. I thought they were really cool.
Yep.
We talked about, you know, technology for men and technology for women. That was, I really enjoyed those shows. But I'm probably a bit biased because I know them personally and they're pretty cool people. But yeah, we've had lots of really interesting ones. The Care Calling Now was an interesting one. It's interesting use of technology as well with Ian and Irene Manson. I mean, there's just so many. People have to go back through the files and check it out on the website, Brad.
Exactly. And also, if you
I agree.
And if you want to support this podcast, go to patreon.com/techwebcast and $1 is not much, $1 a month, and, you know, it always helps to pay our bills here at Tech Webcast. And as Jacob knows, what do you want to say about that, Jacob?
Damn right. You don't pay, you don't go.
Go where?
Well, it is great to support it. And, you know, we're going to look at putting people's names up on the website, aren't we, Brad?
Yes, we are. Yes.
Get people's name, all the Patreon supporters. So we'll put your name up on the website and acknowledge you and thank you for supporting the podcast. Because, you know, it does take money. This is all run voluntarily. And, you know, it does take money to run it and keep it going. So if people can support it, that would be awesome.
And also, shout out to Vincent and the other paid advertising that it's been on this podcast. Thank you for them for supporting Tech Webcast.
Yes. And, yes, from Vinturative.
Yes, Vinturative. And
Vin Brown.
Yes, and also I have a couple of what other ads, Jacob? What are the other ones?
We got one from, let me see. I closed them already.
Cheaper Tech and something, what's the other one called?
Sabor TV, I think.
Sabor TV. Also, Kevin Carpenter, still spinning. He's been supporting the podcast for a long time now. Thank you to him. And everyone else that shares the podcast every week and tunes in. And also, big thank you to Daryl Hunt. He's a really big supporter, and I know what he does for us. I also know what he's done for us too. And I won't go into details though, but I think Jacob knows what we're talking about.
Oh yeah,
He's not well, is he, Daryl?
No, he's not.
Missing Daryl the last two shows.
No, I think he's lost his voice something all from too much work with that play. I think. But anyway, he'll be back next week.
Well, so, we miss you, Daryl.
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. And Daryl Hunt.
We miss you, Daryl, and hopefully. Yes, Daryl will be back on. Yeah, it's an awesome dynamic we've got with all of us. It's kind of like a Charlie's Angels in reverse. I could be Charlie and you guys could be the Angels, fellow co-hosts of the three of you.
Which one is Charlie?
Which
one's Charlie?
Charlie's Angels. It's the one guy and the three girls. You know,
it would actually be called Aldwyn's Angels.
Aldwyn's Angels. Old ones, you're all my angels. I love you all. You're awesome co-hosts.
Is that where she's? Is that when you were wearing that that dress up thing, or what do we call it?
It's when we get the little gun pose happening. So, you know, if we ever get all four of us together in the one place, we could do it where I pretend to be Charlie, and you guys could be the angels, holding up your fingers as guns in the pose.
Actually, I would be. If I was in the same place, I'll be using the real thing.
Yeah, right.
not loaded, though.
Well, you know, the real thing's a bit sensitive here in, I've just come from Vegas, and of course they had the big shooting there recently, so yeah, I don't think anyone's going to be pulling out some real guns in public, you know, anytime soon. Actually, you know, talking of guns, we've had Donald Trump in town here. Would you believe in Waikiki, Donald Trump has been here the last few days, and they've closed a heap of streets. You should wow. see the entourage that comes with Donald Trump coming to town. It's unbelievable. They block all these streets off. There's you know, Secret Service and police officers everywhere, and it's just insane. Jeez, it's just crazy. You know, I've never really seen anything quite like it. I mean, it's just the president coming to town, but yeah, the security is just out of this world. So I just found that very interesting. And it just so happens that I'm here when Trump is in town. So
what would you do?
Whether you love him or hate him?
What would you do if you seen him, Aldwin?
What would I see? What would I do? I don't know what I'd do. I mean, you know, to have a conversation with him would be interesting. I mean, it'd be really interesting to interview the guy because I think he's, you know, he's a bit of an anomaly. He's a bit of a, you know, you either love him or you hate him. What I do like about Trump is that he speaks out about the mass media lies, and I think that's great about all the rubbish that comes out in the mass media. And not many people have done that over time. So I do take my hat off to him for that.
Yeah, definitely. Alone. Definitely.
And, you know, and he did a very, very clever campaign with the Make America Great Again. It was a very clever slogan. And, you know, he's a real in-your-face kind of guy. And, you know, sure, there's some things, you know, some things he says that are crazy and other things that, you know, might be okay. But either way, the fact is that most presidents are just puppets for people behind the scenes anyway. So, you know, so you can only just kind of take whatever they say with a grain of salt because generally whatever they say, expect the opposite. That's kind of how it goes with most politicians. So that's kind of – so I'm probably a bit bitter and twisted about the whole thing. I don't have much faith in politicians across the board. You know, you just see it again and again. They promise one thing, they deliver another. You just get it, you know, in all countries, in all, you know – I mean, not everywhere. Of course, there's probably some good politicians out there, but generally whatever they say, expect the opposite.
Definitely. All right, Jacob, this has been episode 450. What's your highlight, mate? Wrap up the podcast.
What's my highlight? Just being on.
I know that, but what else?
That's it.
What would you be doing? What would you be doing if you weren't on this podcast right now?
Buried my head in the sand.
What?
In other words, I wouldn't be doing nothing.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Anyway, where can they get hold of you on Twitter, Jake, if they want to ask you more questions or they want to offer you a job?
At jazzbot32669.
Are you looking for a job?
No.
Okay. So it's jazzbot32669 with one Z. How long have you had that Twitter name for?
Longer than you.
Okay. You can get me on Twitter at Brad Oz and at Tech Webcast. Aldrin, thank you for being on the podcast today.
Thank you very much. And people can get me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, Instagram, and my YouTube channel, Aldwin Altenay, or just Google Media Queen. Also my website, AAXPOSE.com. And talking of Trump, he has been tweeting while he's been here in Waikiki. So
wow.
Twitter is a great place to connect with all sorts of celebrities and politicians and people from all walks of life. And media, a lot of media too on Twitter.
What about
and
Snapchat?
At Aldwin is my Twitter
handle. What about Snapchat?
I'm off Snapchat. I've deleted it. I had enough. Oh, look, I gave it a go, Brad. I gave it a go. Okay. It was a nice thought.
Fair enough.
But I've got rid of it now because it just annoyed me. And I think, you know, because I like to hold on to things. And when something comes up, you know, a picture or a message comes up for 5 seconds, it really annoys me when it just disappears. So, you know, I really like things to stay there. I like to be, and sometimes to go back over pictures or go back over messages sometimes. And when it just disappears, it just annoys me. It's kind of, I don't know, it's just something about it just annoys me. So, you know, it's great for people that love that kind of thing. I think people send a lot of very naughty messages on there. I think that's what a lot of the young people use it for. They send naughty pictures and naughty videos and all that sort of thing, and then there's no trace of it. I think that's where people get off on Snapchat. But I never did that personally, and I don't know about you, Brad. I can't imagine you would do anything like that.
No.
Or you, Jacob. Are you on Snapchat?
No.
I am, but I don't send out snaps.
I just send, okay. I just follow people on Snapchat, just like celebrity people or people that I know.
Yeah, right. Look, it's interesting to see some visuals just pop up in front of your face, but yeah, it just annoys me how they just disappear so quick. So because it was doing something to my brain.
There is an option though where you can slide it up to the end, and that option doesn't actually disappear. When you choose that option, it doesn't actually disappear. It actually stays there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I didn't think there was a way you could do that. Oh, well, there you go. So this is where, for those that are listening right now to the podcast, it's very important to understand how the technology works. And the thing is these social media channels, they probably bring in new things all the time as well. So
yeah, exactly.
So that's interesting.
Mm. All right. So you can get.
And I know Snapchat is huge. So
it is. Okay, hang around after the podcast. We're going to have a chat with you. You can get me on Twitter at Brad. Yep. I was on a Tech Webcast. Jacob, you can get hold of you, mate.
You already got me.
Okay, that's Jazzbot3269. Any shout outs, Jacob?
To Peter.
Peter Merritt.
Yes, sir.
What about Dean?
Granny's handbag.
What about Jennifer and Jody and Andrew and them sort of them? They were the previous co-hosts. So shout out to them.
Yes.
And what about Steve?
I don't think so.
Steve was a weird one. He actually left the podcast and he didn't actually tell us why he left. And from this day on, since day on, we haven't actually heard from him or anything. So Steve.
Well, I hope he's all right.
I think he's all right, but he just.
Oh, he's all right.
He just doesn't want to fucking talk to us.
Oh, okay. So, well, hopefully he's happy doing whatever he's doing. That's kind of weird. Maybe he said something that offended him.
I don't know. So, Steve, if you hear this podcast, message us, mate. Yeah, let us know. Jacob, wrap the podcast up. Say something and say whatever you want. Go ahead. I give you permission. Go ahead to say whatever you want. Aldwin, you too. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, it's. Oh, okay. Well, I just want to say I'm grateful for you guys and I'm grateful for everyone who has supported Tech Webcast and all our listeners. Thank you so much. And I really want to encourage people to actually think about three things they're grateful for in the morning and three things they're grateful for at night and actually write them down, and it will just set the tone for an amazing life. It's very simple, but the more you get into that gratitude space, the more you will have an amazing life. So I want to leave people with that and say thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Aldrin. Jake, go ahead. What do you want to say? Say whatever you want and I'll play the outro. Go ahead. You got 1 minute. Go ahead.
Whatever, Brad.
Yeah, and?
Rock on. Jesus Christ. Another good show is in the can. Or in the dumpster.
Yeehaw.
Thank you for listening to Tech Webcast. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and Twitter at Tech Webcast. We'll catch you next time. Cheers.
Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast.
Minus 10.
Tech Webcast.
9.
Tech Webcast.
8. 7.
Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast.
6.
Tech Webcast.
5. A beautiful liftoff. Climbing nicely. Roll program initiated.